Our Father and our God, as we've entered this place with praise, as we've called your name time and time again, one more time, O God, we call out the name of Jesus. Now I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Lord, I am just a nail that hangs on the wall that reflects the picture of Jesus. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank the praise team and want to thank the praise leader today, the guest leader who came. And or you can do better than that. Somebody ought to say amen. Anytime a guest comes here and you've come to give service, thank you, brother, for rendering that service to the Lord. I want to thank the pulpit participants and all the leaders and the elders. Elder Martin for his leadership in putting the praise team together. Somebody ought to say amen. Praise the Lord for your testimony and your ministry. I want to invite you quickly because we want to make sure that we get you out at a decent time. We worship, but we don't have to keep you here all day. Somebody ought to say amen. We've heard that used to be the longevity of the service. We would say that the longer you were in service, the more you had church. But we've learned that you don't have to have the longevity there. What you have to have is the depth. Somebody ought to say amen. And so today we're going to make sure we get you depth. Then we're going to move on, for God's got something else for us to do. Out of the book of James, I know you've got your Bibles with you because you wouldn't come into God's house without his word. I know you look good today. You can turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm a 10. That's right, you look good. But you can't look good without God's word. It's a fashion statement. Come on. In the book of James, James chapter 1. Glad to be home and to spend time with my brothers and sisters in Christ. James, a bond servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings, my brethren. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Knowing, verse 3, that the testing of your faith produces patience. I want to entitle for just a few moments with your prayers this message, The Trying of Your Faith. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm tried, but God's going to bless. I want to talk today about finding joy in the midst of troubles, trials, and tribulations. Have you ever wondered why life seems to be so full of troubles, trials, and tribulation? God is speaking to you today. I've often asked myself the question, why doesn't things always go my way? Why isn't my life always full of joy and never sorrow? Why is life always bringing heartaches and pains? Why do I have to suffer persecution? Why must life be so complicated? Why do trials and tribulations seem to always raise their ugly heads in my life? Why is life so full of problems and pressure? Why can't life, Brother Robinson, be smooth sailing? void of any bumps, Terry, and tribulations? Why, Dad, must I suffer heartaches and pain? Why do the clouds of anguish, anxiety, and adversity gather in my life and cause me to be drenched with the rainfall of troubles and trials? Why can't I always have sunny weather in my life, Evelyn? Have you ever fantasized what life would be like if there was never any problems, setbacks, any issues, or any pressures in your life? Have you ever fantasized what life would be void of any discomfort or pain? No discouragement. I fantasized about a world where there was never any worries or pains. Where the rays, Brother Elder, of sunshine seems to always saturate my soul. Where flowers never die but only blossom. In my mind, I've pondered about how wonderful it would be if I never had any pains or problems or setbacks or sorrows or troubles and trials in life. In my dreams, I have imagined a life on earth where everybody is happy and never sad, where there is no racism of any kind, where it doesn't matter what your socioeconomic status is, but then reality kicks in. And I was made aware that everybody is born a candidate for calamity. And so as we approach our text, James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, was well aware of what was happening in the first century in his day and what would happen to those people who profess the name of Jesus Christ. He knew that some were already being persecuted. Stay with me. And suffering at the hands of the oppressors. But he knew that if they were going to be strong, they were going to have to endure trials on every hand. He knew if they were going to have victory, they were going to have to progress through their pain and get mileage out of their misery. Many Christians at that time were losing their lives. Some were being thrown in arenas to fight wild animals. Others were crucified upside down. Still, others were taken outside and stoned to death. Some were even set on fire, and many were thrown in jail because they would not denounce the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And again, I ask the question, what shall we do when we face trials and tribulations on every hand? Reading in your hearing, James says this is what we should do when we face trials and tribulations. He opens up with a paradoxical statement. A paradox is simply a statement that seems to contradict itself, but it does not. James says, watch this, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. That was a paradoxical statement. How can you count it all joy in the midst of chaos? James, what do you mean? What are you talking about? How can I be joyful in a distressful situation? How can I be joyful when I've lost my job and I've lost my family? How? What are you talking about, James? I think you need to explain yourself here at Imani because we're a little confused about what you're talking about. Count it all joy when you fall into doubt. James, what are you talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked the question, Dave. Let me explain myself today. James says, I'll break it down for you. Actually, what I'm saying is count it all joy when you fall. Fall meaning when you encounter. Stay with me. Count it all joy when you fall into divers. I'm teaching you now. Divers meaning various or many. He says, watch this. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. Temptation does not mean temptation as we commonly know it when we are tempted to sin. But the word temptation here means trial. So let me pause here parenthetically and suggest this nugget to you that when God allows temptations to come into your life, it's not because God is trying to trip you up, but it's because God wants you to understand, he wants you to measure where you are in your Christian walk. God doesn't want to expose you, but God wants you to know what is going on in your life. In other words, if you're never tested, how do you know that you can overcome? I think I just said something, because you're quiet on me. So what James is saying, listen to this. He says, rejoice when you encounter various trials on every hand. That was rather a paradoxical statement. My brothers and sisters, the diabolical design of the devil is for you to be angry and curse God. He does not want you to rejoice in the midst of trials and tribulation. He does not want God's people to end up like God's servant Job. Oh, you know Job, don't you? The devil says the reason why Job praises you, God, is because you have a hedge about him. A hedge, a hedge, a hedge, a hedge. What does that mean? A hedge, that's a guard or a barrier that is set around you. So you see, Jesus, he praises you simply because you've got a guard around him. He has not gone through any trials. He has not been proven. You have not allowed me to test him and see what his faith is all about. So why don't you remove his hedge and see if he won't curse you to your face? See, God, if he won't curse heaven. Can you imagine everything Job had, the devil took away? Murdered his 10 children. Did I say 10 children? Could you just imagine one child? The trauma of losing one loved one, but 10? Job lost everything. People would see him and say, Job, how do you answer? His wife said, Job, why don't you curse God and die? How do you answer? All your money is gone. Your houses, your boats, your cars. How do you answer? Everything that you've worked for is gone. Your cattle is gone. How do you answer? How do you answer when you're going through the trials and tribulations of life? When all the trials have got the best of you, how do you answer? I can hear Job saying, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I can hear him saying, I was young, now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I can hear Job saying, those that wait, I said, wait on the Lord, shall renew their strength. Job praised God through his trials and his tribulations. We need to be more like Job. When we are going through trials and tribulations, we ought to praise God. We need to learn to say, thank you, Jesus. I got troubles on every hand, but thank you, Jesus. My husband or wife won't treat me right, but thank you, Jesus. My children are acting up, but thank you, Jesus. My money is funny and my change is strange, but thank you, Jesus. One songwriter puts it like this: I thank God for my mountains, but then I thank him for my valleys, and I thank him for the storms he has brought me through. If I never had a problem, I wouldn't know God could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in his word could do. But through it all, I said, through it all, I have learned to trust in Jesus. And I've learned to trust in God. My brothers and sisters, So count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. That was a paradox. But don't be discouraged. The whole Christian faith was founded on a paradoxical principle. Look at the life of Jesus. He made the woman who gave birth to him. That's a paradox. When he was born, he was both older and younger than his mother at the same time. Oh, that went right over your head. That's a paradox. He asked the lady at the well for water and then said, "I am the water." That's a paradox. My brothers and sisters, rejoice when you fall into divers temptation. James tells us we need to rejoice because of what we know. Oh, you're still missing me. The scripture says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. What does he mean, knowing this? What is he talking about, James? Knowing this. You see, you've got to understand that this is a knowing religion. Knowing that the truth of God will make you free from the sin of the world. Knowing this, that Jesus will sustain you while going through trials and tribulations. Knowing this, that Jesus Christ is coming back again. Somebody say amen. You can rejoice not because of what you have, but who you know. I can hear John saying, "Beloved, now I know the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear," I said, "when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." So again, I ask the question, what are we to do when we face trials on every hand? What are we to do knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience? We know our trials come to show our faith. The word simply means testing. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. When you were in school and the teacher would give you a test just to see how much you studied. And at the end of your test, your teacher would say, "Watch this now. Keep your tests so you can review and be prepared for the final test." Oh, you guys aren't with me today. You're not with me today. That's all that Jesus does. He gives us a pretest. That's your trials. That's what you're going through right now. That issue that you're dealing with in your health, it's a pretest. That issue that you're dealing with in your home, that's a pretest. That issue that you're dealing with on your job, that's a pretest. Because what God wants to do is prepare you for the final test. Somebody ought to say amen. You see, you will never know how strong your faith is until it is put to the test. I think I just said something. Let me just stay here for just a while. You see, we have some people that I call them super saints. You know what I'm talking about. These are the ones that walk around, you know, with the biggest Bible. And every word is, "Praise the Lord. God is good. My heart is fixed. My mind is made up." But soon as trouble comes, they're the first ones to run. "Lord, why did you allow this to happen to me?" The first ones who begin to complain and murmur, "Why is this and why? Woe is me." Instead of complaining, take everything to God in prayer. You see, our trials are not only to show our faith, but our trials come, watch this now, to strengthen our faith in God. Let me illustrate this idea. I used to go to the weight room a long time ago. Somebody ought to say amen. I need to get back to the weight room, huh? But I used to go to the weight room with my friends, and we used to go and work out, and most of the times I would just watch. And then I began to notice that they were getting stronger, and their muscles were growing. I wanted to be like that. I wanted to be strong. So I realized the only way that I was going to get stronger and have muscles is by lifting something heavy. Don't miss me now. I had to pick up some weights now and then. I just couldn't go to the weight room to sit and to watch. I had to participate, come on now, some type of activity. My brother and sister, if you're going to get stronger on your Christian journey, you're going to have to pick up some weights. There are some trials you're going to have to endure. Oh, it might be a financial trial. It might be a marital trial. It might be a friend trial. Whatever the trial, God is going to give you the right stuff to be able to handle it. God is going to place the Holy Ghost inside of you so you will be able to handle the trials in your life. He says he's going to make it plain for you. He says, I'm going to put the Holy Spirit inside of you. That's going to give you the right stuff to go through that trial. There was a man who took his son to a department store. And upon arrival, his son went to the toy section and found himself a Weeble Wobble. You know the saying about a Weeble Wobble, don't you? A Weeble wobbles, but it doesn't fall down. So the boy said, Daddy, Daddy, it doesn't matter how many times I try to knock this Weeble Wobble down. It just won't fall. I threw it on the floor. I kicked it. I pushed it, but it won't fall down. Well, that's the posture that we all should have when we encounter difficult times in our lives. We may weeble. We may wobble, but we won't fall down. You see, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but a holy lean. Are you leaning on Jesus' name? You see, you can't experience Christian joy until you have experienced Christian suffering. That's deep, Pastor. Amen, somebody. That's why James says, count it all joy when you encounter various trials. James says, and John, we're trying to talking to Jesus, we're trying to get some good seats up in glory. And they said, Jesus, can we sit on your right and on your left? And Jesus answers them back, that's not for me to give. Because if you want to sit where I sit, you have to suffer as I have suffered. Several years ago, and I'm closing now, as the musicians come. Several years ago, I went to Dallas to attend a preaching symposium. The Dallas paper had an article about a woman by the name of Wyatt who was kidnapped at one of the local shopping malls there in Dallas. She was kidnapped. You can begin to play. She was kidnapped in a car wrapped in duct tape. They wrapped her up and put her in the trunk of the car. She didn't know where she was going, trapped in tape. She arrived in Oklahoma. Upon arriving in Oklahoma, the kidnappers took her out of the trunk and placed her in a ditch. Look at her now, thrown in the back of the car. Now she's laying in the ditch. Look at her pain. As she is being snatched from that car, taken from her family. And now she is in unfamiliar territory, trapped in some tape that she cannot break free from. And now she's laying there in the ditch. And it looks like it's all over. But the paper said worse went to worse. And before she knew it, she felt the thunder roll. And she could see through the duct tape the lightning flash. And then she felt the rain beating down on her duct tape covered body. Storm raging. I'm in a ditch. I'm in a strange place. I don't know what's going to happen to me next. Left here for dead. But God is so awesome. And she testifies that as the rain came down, it got between the tape and her skin. And the rainstorm set her free. That's my word this morning. I know it might be storming right now. I know you might be in a strange place. But God can use your storm to set you free. I've heard the thunder roll. I've seen the lightning flashing. I've felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus saying, fight on. He promised never, ever to leave me alone. That's my word this morning. In spite of the storm, in spite of the trials, in spite of your tribulations, we can count it all joy, knowing that the triumph of your faith, knowing that God will be with you every step of the way. He says, I promise to never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'm God and I'm God alone. And no matter what you go through, no matter what trials that you're facing, God says, I will be with you. Even in the storm. That's my word this morning. He'll be with you and watch him bless you. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Thank you, Jesus. Oftentimes we can't explain or even understand the storms that we're dealing with. But I'm so glad that you walk with us and you talk with us. I'm so glad that you never leave us, even in the midst of the storm. I'm so glad on this day that we've got a friend that sticks closer to a brother, and his name is Jesus Christ. So today, at this moment, at this time, Lord, I give you my life. All to Jesus, I surrender. Thank you, oh God, for working in my life. Thank you for walking me through the storm. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.